Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Moscow is still dark. Life as we know it will come to an end in 90 days. It's on us to change that.
I can't leave my family.
Don't pretend your family is exempt.
Hello there, and welcome to another Fan Critical podcast.
Yay!
Bit different today. Yay indeed. This is another specially commissioned podcast from one of our Patreon backers, so a big thanks to Beth Panico, who's one of our master blueberries. She's commissioned us today to watch and podcast on World War Z. So, I mean, I've no idea why. Maybe because the world we're currently living in, obviously rife with COVID-19, it feels a little bit apocalyptic. So maybe that's what it is. But anyway, it's not just me today rambling. I'm rambling with one other person. I'm joined by my fellow Once Upon a Time Walking Dead enthusiast. It's Emma.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, back together.
How are you?
Talking about zombies. All good. Very excited to talk about this, actually. So thank you, Beth, for all of your long-time support, but also for getting me to watch this film.
Mm. Good. All right. I mean, you just mentioned there, so you hadn't seen this before, had you?
No. So it's something that should be right up my street, but I just never really got around to watching it. What did it come out? 2013? And
yeah, 2013, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of the time I watch films for the podcast now. So unless it's on my homework
list. Yeah, that is
true. Then it doesn't tend to get watched. So you and I watched it socially distancing across the internet together last week, which was thoroughly enjoyable. And I mean, obviously, we'll give more opinions as we get further. But yes, it was a lovely experience. So thanks, Beth, at least for that.
Good. Right. Are you going to have a go at Beth? Or
not having a go.
Oh, all right. I'll just say. but you've gone one better, haven't you? You're
of course I
a fucking bookworm, so you've gone and read the book as well.
I have indeed. You know me, I'm not one to be a half-assed job. I decided to get myself a copy of World War Z, the book, and ploughed through it on Sunday in one sitting, which I thought was quite good. And
yeah,
I was really surprised by the book, because normally I will watch a film after reading the book, and I did this the other way around, which is quite unusual for me.
Yeah.
But actually, when we talk about the differences between the book and the film, it made no difference whatsoever. In fact, I think it made it more enjoyable.
Good. Oh, interesting. Well, I did see World War Z in the cinema when it came out, in the moving picture house, when we were allowed to leave our homes.
Oh, and good old days.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? And I really enjoyed it when I saw it at the cinema. And when I watched it again with yourself over the internet, it wasn't as good as I remember, to be honest.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I will give it a Blueberry score. And before I do, for any new listeners, we score everything with the Blueberry system. So, 1 to 5. I mean, we can do zeros, but we rarely do. We save that for the worst of Netflix, but I'm not going to plug that yet. So we can have no halves in the Blueberry scale. It's a fair but firm scale. I'm going to give it 3 bloobs. you know, it's for me, it's I think having Brad Pitt in this film helps a lot. And at points, if you didn't know the backstory about him effectively bankrolling the film, it was obviously his project, then you'd probably watch this and think, what the fuck is Brad Pitt doing in this? Like, he's way better than this.
Didn't he do it because his kids love zombies?
Yeah, why not? You know, blaming them. Yeah. But no, it was, look, as I'm sure you'll go into it, it does divulge massively from the source material. But I think mainly because of budget or something, or numerous rewrites. But look, for me, it's nowhere near on the level of like A Dawn of the Dead or something like that. Mm. It does interesting things with the genre. But some of the effects that I thought were quite good in 2013 have aged badly. But it's a more than watchable film. So I'll give it a 3 bloobs. So I guess for someone that has only just seen World War Z, what were your thoughts?
So, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It's the first film I've watched in lockdown. So, you know, maybe my judgment is skewed by the fact that I haven't seen another human being for 36 days. But, you know, apart from that, I really enjoyed it. And actually, I think because I knew it's a 7-year-old film, you know, if you think about like some of the effects and the set pieces and stuff like that, they're never going to be as good.
Mm.
You're right in saying that Brad Pitt makes it much more watchable. I love Brad Pitt. I think he's really underrated as an actor. And I think he did.
Oh, not anymore. Not anymore.
Well, no, he has been.
Oscar winner.
Until now, he has been. But yes, you are correct. I thought he was brilliant in it. I think he played the role really well. I think he held up some weaker acting from certain people, which I'm sure we'll get on to.
Harsh. Slagging him off.
Yeah, already slagging him off. But actually, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was different. It was something that it was done from a perspective that I thought was really interesting. So you got to see so many different parts of the impact that the virus and the zombies and, you know, the ghouls and Z-heads and whatever you want to call them are having on different areas of the world. And both from the perspective of like the layman, like the family in the flats, and from, you know, military and government areas and things like that. So I think that was done well. I also think that it was, there were a couple of really good set pieces in it, a couple of things that I really enjoyed, which we will talk about in a bit more detail. I did find myself shouting at it at points, being like, shut the fuck up, when they were singing in the courtyards in Jerusalem. But I also, when I watch a film that makes me want to shout at it, I quite like that. So I'm going to one up.
Glad
you
I wasn't
here.
There.
No, you just got it via text. What the fuck, man?
That's true. Yeah.
I'm going to one up you. I'm going to give it 4 blueberries.
Yeah. No, look, I'll be honest. I thought I was going to give it 4 blueberries before I watched it. And then on a rewatch, it just didn't feel as good as it did when I saw it many moons ago. As I say, look, some of it has aged badly. And I guess when you're writing notes for a podcast, and we're not going to do a full recap, but I mean, if we were, it would be fairly easy to do, because this film is just, now we're here, now we're going here, now we're going here, now we're going here, what are we doing here? The film's finished. And it did feel quite quick, actually. So look, if we were doing a full recap, it'd be a piece of piss.
Yeah.
We will mention the numerous locations that they have. But yeah. That I think 4 blueberries is a fair score. So how does the book compare, Emma?
So this is really interesting. So I knew nothing about the book, nothing about the start of the book. Obviously watched the film last week and then thought, right, if we're going to do this, I'll read the book as well, so we got something to compare it to. The book is a completely different concept, structure, style, storyline to the film. Completely different.
Right. Right. Did you read the right book?
Probably not. So the book is written from the perspective of a guy that works for the government who has gone around doing a report, interviewing people across different areas of the world for their experience of the pandemic and the resulting aftermath of the rebuilding of society. And there's something like 30 different people in it that all get a chapter. So it's almost like interview style. It is brilliant.
Right.
It's absolutely brilliant, but it is completely different. Which is, so when I started reading it, I was like,
yeah.
Where's Jerry? What's going on? There isn't a Jerry. He's different.
What's the name of the protagonist in the book?
It's an unnamed narrator.
Oh, see, that annoys me.
Unless I'm being a complete idiot, but I don't remember there being a name unless it was right at the beginning. It didn't really stick with me. So the only thing in the book...
I so hope there's a name and you are an idiot.
You'll get absolutely slagged off by everyone. You fucking idiot, you hack! You fucking hack!
Yeah, his name's Ben. Yeah.
So there are a couple of things that are similar, so or the same. So when they go to, I think it's Daosheng in China, where they think that they might have patient zero. They talk about that in the film, about the doctor going to see people in some like shack somewhere. That's similar to the storyline. Mm. But what I thought was really interesting reading the book is seeing how they adapted it into a film of very similar tone, but taking material that is entirely different. So I read something really interesting today that what they were originally going to do is, so Max Brooks, who wrote World War Z, also wrote two other books, one called The Zombie Survival Handbook and one called The Zombie Survival Handbook Confirmed Cases or something like that. And they were going to do all three
Part
films.
Two.
Yeah, The Zombie Survival Handbook, Revised Edition. And apparently they were going to do films of all of them, but they've never gotten around to doing the other two. So I wonder if maybe some of the Survival Handbook stuff is a bit more similar, but it's supposed to be taken straight from World War Z. So I thought it was quite clever because you kind of, this focuses more on kind of retelling of the time of the kind of emergence of the zombies and the impact on the world and also the rebuilding afterwards and all of the like governmental fights and, you know, working out how they can get materials to keep people running and lots of stuff with the army and things like that. So it's really interesting. I've got to say, I mean, I read this book in like a 6-hour sitting.
It wouldn't make a good film though, would it?
No, it would be terrible.
Would it make a good film?
No.
Mm.
You'd have to pick...
TV series?
So one of the things that it kind of reminded me of, and this is going to sound really weird, is The Stand. Not in terms of
God,
the book,
fucking
but in the
hell.
Fact that you've got lots of people and different perspectives of how people manage through an apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic world. Better than the show. Mm. And like totally different to the book, but it had that same kind of feeling. I think it would be really hard to adapt this book into anything on the screen because you've literally got like, I don't know, say 20 paragraphs per character.
Mm.
So it would be like you'd have to do like half hour mini episodes on each. And I don't think it would necessarily hold attention as much because they don't all connect.
Mm. No, that's fair. So if you were to score the book, what would you score the book?
Given that I read it in 6 hours in one go and couldn't put it down, that for me is a 5 blueberry.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Fucking hell. So, yeah. So there you go. The book's destroyed the film.
Yep.
The film is officially rubbish.
Well, yeah, officially good. Not as good as Very the book. Good. Absolutely blew me away. I definitely recommend it as a read. It's really easily digestible. It's very Max Brooks writes in a way that you can imagine each of these characters and what they've gone through, like the random gamer dude from Tokyo that's never left his house before and then fights with a ninja sword and all of this shit. Like, brilliant.
I mean, that sounds terrible, but that's fine. Any pictures? Any pictures? Pop-up version or?
No. I could draw you some.
No? All right. Well, no interest. You can't, though, can you? Cool. All right. Well, look, that's interesting. I mean, doing a film versus the book might kind of die on its arse in the next segment. So that might not last very long. And we weren't going to do a full recap anyway. So what we'll probably do is slag off the rest of the cast other than Brad Pitt. And then talk about why the book is better than the film.
Sounds good to me.
But before we do all of that, we're going to have a little advert.
Daddy, what's martial law?
Yes, hello. It's another advert. These adverts, to be honest, are a bit bland. Or normally they are, because we've not got a lot to plug. Because obviously COVID's kind of ripped our plans to pieces when it comes to like a corpse, like, you know, like a body being ripped to pieces by a zombie. You know, that's the link. Yeah, so you gotta work with me. Naturally, we need to plug Patreon. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, why the hell are they watching World War Z? You can't slag the choice off because you didn't commission the podcast, because you didn't pay to commission it. So if you decide that you want us to watch another film and pod on another film, give us some dollary dues over at patreon.com/fancritical, and you can commission a pod. That's fair enough, isn't it,
yeah,
Emma?
Yeah, totally fair. You can commission anything you want. We've done a few of these. So far, they've all been very good.
Well, just films only. Not doing any series.
Any film that you like, and we will watch it. I might even read the supporting fiction counterpart, and then we'll podcast on it. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. It's good. You might regret that, but, you know, what if someone's like The Passion of the Christ? You have to read the Bible. So,
War and Peace or something.
What's the film of that?
War and Peace.
Is that a film?
No, I don't think so. I have read War and Peace, though.
Yeah. War and Peace, starring Brad Pitt.
Love in the Time of Cholera. That would be good.
Be good. Yeah. Now, we actually are watching a TV series at the moment, Westworld. Now, I'm the host of Westworld, and I can... I'll be upfront about it. I enjoy doing the podcast. I don't necessarily enjoy watching the show. But if you are watching Westworld and you haven't listened to our coverage, go and listen to it, even just for one episode. And if you decide that you're not happy with how negative it is, that's absolutely fine. But just give it one episode. Give us one more listen. That's all I'm asking for. And if you don't like it, send the feedback in and slag us off. Whatever. Doesn't bother me. So despite the fact that earlier I said we were struggling with getting podcasts out, this week has seen the launch of a new podcast, a new series called How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? Now, Emma, do you want to explain the concept of this?
Yeah, so it's a brilliant new concept, quite frankly. Totally original. And came out of a nice little group chat we had a few weeks ago. and essentially it is a podcast to shame those of us who have that film in our closet that we've not seen that we really fucking should have. So, I mean, there are plenty of them. It's like turning around saying, I don't think I've ever watched Scarface, for example.
Mm.
Or something along those lines. So
and that is one of them.
Yes,
so.
It is. So the first episode of that is out now, where we shame Gareth for having never seen...
RoboCop.
Yeah. And he's doing the host of Westworld. He's never seen RoboCop. He has now.
He has seen it now, and he bloody loved it as well. So,
of course he did.
You
it's
know,
RoboCop.
Not positive. Good. All right, well, look, that's enough plugging. Now we're going to go back to the rest of the show. Cool. So thanks for that advert, John. Yeah. So still doing
You're
that.
Welcome.
Still doing that in every pod. Now, the casting of this film, I know you've alluded to the fact that, you know, you've obviously got Brad Pitt in it because he wanted to be in it. And I'm sure he's being paid very well to be in it. But back in the day when I watched it, I looked at everyone else and I was like, who are these people? And then out of nowhere, you'll get someone like Matthew Fox for some reason.
Yep.
Does he even have a line?
No.
That's madness, that. Why is he in this?
He hasn't even got a name.
Why is he in this film?
He's just credited as Parajumper.
Yeah.
That's it.
Para-rescue man.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's just me going, it's Matthew Party of Five Lost.
Are any of these characters that are in this film, are they in the book?
None that jumped out at me, no. So the only one, they've briefly mentioned about the Doctor in China.
Mm.
Otherwise... No. So the premise of the book is that the guy that's writing it and doing the interviews, who I think is possibly meant to be similar to Jerry, I'm not sure.
Right.
Is working for like the government, so maybe that's where all the stuff on the ship comes from, but otherwise no, literally nothing.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, look, we start in Philadelphia. Is that even a place in the book?
Not specifically. This isn't going to go well, John.
Right. Yeah, okay. So I'm now going to stop referencing the book until you reference the book. So we start off in Philadelphia and it all kicks off. And, I mean, there are some people that aren't panicking that much. I've never been to Philadelphia, but I hear it's a very rough place. So maybe like zombies and stuff could probably pass in everyday Philadelphian life. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe crack addicts.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard it's the city that boos Santa Claus, which always makes me laugh.
Oh, that's awful. Maybe it's like, do you remember when all those people got high on, like, bath salts or whatever it was and started eating people. Maybe they just thought it was that.
Yeah. That didn't happen in Philadelphia, did it?
No, but, you know, maybe they just thought it was happening in Philadelphia.
Hey, look, it could have done. Bloody could have done. So it all kicks off in Philadelphia. You've got people getting run over, cars being smashed to pieces. I'll tell you what, this is quite a cool scene. I love all this stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was wicked.
Like, when it comes to zombie films and that kind of first day, the first hour where it starts to go to shit, like, that for me is always the most interesting part of zombie films. Yeah. Or TV series, like that initial, oh shit, man, it's all going to shit.
It's also interesting, I think, because you get to see people's first reactions, which I always think is a really interesting thing. Like, are you a fight or a flight person in a zombie apocalypse? You know, are you the guy that just sits in his car going, why is the person trying to eat me banging head against windshield? Or are you Brad Pitt?
Yeah. Why is a guy talking like that? Has he been bitten already? Or
He got up late, he's having a bad day.
It's you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, I mean, look, if a zombie apocalypse, if it all kicked off and it was like zombies from the original Dawn of the Dead, where they're all just like, you know, they're so slow and non-threatening, I could get on board with that. To be honest, I think that'd be a right laugh. But if it's like this or 28 days later, there comes a point where you make zombies too effective and too powerful.
Zombies with speed.
Zombies with speed, yeah. Yeah. Is that another book? Or?
Yeah, I'm writing it now.
Yeah.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, old school, old-fashioned zombies that are, like, lurching around, I need brains, are, like, you can dispatch a zombie pretty
well,
easily.
Well, hold on. Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about the ones that literally speak. I mean, that is madness when they say brains. No, that doesn't even make sense, but... That's hilarious, to be honest.
But zombies that run faster than fucking Usain Bolt is genuinely terrifying. And
slagging him off, yeah.
Fucking zombie. But these opening scenes were amazing. Like, I mean, forget the pancake shit. No one needs to worry about that. But, like, driving through the traffic and then, like, when the truck all of a sudden just starts decimating through the traffic and you're thinking, I mean, I know what's happening. It's called World War Z. Zombies, right? Come on, we know this. It's obvious. I read the summary, but it was just really cool. And one of my favourite parts of the, like, opening scenes in Philadelphia was when Brad Pitt pauses and counts to watch the man turn after he'd been bitten. Mm. So I was like, "That's smart. This guy knows his shit."
Yeah, I mean, the guy skitzing out on the floor, I'd be terrified. He's a bit too calm, isn't he? Is he acting that good in this film?
I don't know. I was just waiting for him to take his top off, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. It's just in every film,
isn't
it?
It's very stoic. And I think that that is both good and not so good. It's good because, you know, he's cold, hard Brad Pitt. Ooh. But you could also see him be a bit scared at some points rather than just blank.
Mm. Well, look, I mean, I would have liked it if he'd screamed like a little girl when he's going up the steps. And you've got the zombies chasing them in the darkness with a red light.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. Yeah. But that would... I'd look at that and go, that is very good acting, that. Because I believe that he is terrified. And he should be. I'm not saying that he's just going to give up and just lie on the floor and start crying. But he's too calm, isn't he? Like,
that bit in the apartment block was brilliant.
It was good. And when we were watching it at the same time... When the bit started, I was waiting for your messages of, fucking hell, what's going on here? Yeah, so, but look, jump scares, that's always good. And back in 2013, films were loving that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so it was good. So they meet some Mexican family and then it's like, well, yeah, actually, they don't really matter. You get one guy that's like, no, look, we're going to be fine. If we just stay here, in this Fort Knox flat that we've got, we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, never watched a zombie film, have they?
Yeah, so they're dead immediately, apart from the little kid. And that's when Matthew Fox turns up for his little cameo. He's like, come on, get in my helicopter. It'll all be fine. And then you get all these mental zombies throwing themselves off the building trying to get onto this helicopter.
It was like
Terrifying.
It was absolutely... So this is actually one of the things that came up in the book. So there's quite a lot about how the army were trying to clear cities. And they talk about the Battle of Yonkers.
Oh, yeah.
And how people have, like, how they've seen, like, zombies running off buildings to try and get to the next roof to get to their prey or to get to the other zombies. And this kind of actually in hindsight reminds me a bit of that, just that mindless running, thinking I want to eat Matthew Fox and just pouring off the fucking roof. But it was shit scary, wasn't it?
Well, look, in 2013 that might have been the case, people, you know, sacrificing themselves to get to Matthew Fox.
Yeah.
2020, that's definitely not happening. I mean, I don't know what he's doing now, but...
Not a lot, I don't think.
No. Yeah. His career's lost.
Yay.
Yeah? So...
There's no parties of five for him.
No, stop referencing that. That was fucking years ago. He did Lost after that, right? Anyway. So they end up on a Navy vessel. And I'm like, yeah, cool, man. And I remember thinking this when I first saw it. Like, that is the best place to be. There's no way I'm leaving this boat.
100%.
Like, you cannot get me off this boat.
That's my zombie survival plan, is get on a cruise ship.
Yeah. So he leaves immediately, leaves his kids on there with his wife. I mean, I'm still not convinced with the casting of that family.
Can we talk about his wife, please?
Yes.
I hate her.
Bit harsh.
She's just...
Why'd you hate her?
I don't know what it is. She just irritated me.
It's the actress, yeah?
She just felt a bit wet. Like, he's going to try and save the world.
Okay.
And you're... Yeah. Whining and whinging and calling him baby and ringing him and nearly killing him while he's cycling around trying to avoid zombies. Like, you're an idiot.
That was an accident, but we can go on to that. So obviously he's like, look, you know, I'm not leaving this boat. It's lovely and nice and safe, you know, having a laugh and that with my family. And they go, look, you're gonna have to. And he's like, okay,
well, like, you're gonna have to, otherwise we'll throw your family off the ship.
Yeah, harsh. Yeah. Man, fucking hell, it's the United Nations. But anyway, so he ends up in South Korea, but it's all right because he's got a little buddy with him, isn't he? Little scientist fella.
Fucking useless.
And he's going to be like, look, you know, we need to get here, right? We need to get here and we'll do this. You know, okay, yeah, I'll recognise that guy. He was in Game of Thrones, so, you know.
Blood Rider.
This might be his big, this might be his big, you know, breakthrough role. And he isn't because he falls over and shoots his own face off. What the fuck?
I creased up when that happened.
Yeah, like, but again, like, so you're saying that this has nothing to do with the book, and I'm like, I'm watching that going, that must have happened in the book because it's just so lame. But it didn't. They've just put that in there. Like, this guy, this actor, he is getting the short straw constantly. Like, killed off screen in Game of Thrones when he was the main Blood Rider, and now this.
Shot himself in, like, the face because he fell over with his finger on the trigger. That's why you don't run around with your finger on the trigger of a gun. All right, guys?
Yeah.
Safety
first. There you go. It's a message.
I like this bit when they get to the base because... So we've got all the hard nuts who are, what, they Navy SEALs? I reckon.
I don't know, but they're pretty fucking
Black
good,
Ops.
Aren't they?
I mean, awesome. All of them built like brick shit houses. Aren't having any of this. And then to get them back to fly off to wherever they need to go, where it's Jerusalem from there, isn't it? They said about bicycles. And I laughed. I'm sorry. I laughed at the bicycles.
Yeah, but that's smart.
I mean, it's genius. But they...
I don't know why they've got so many bicycles,
they look
to
like
be honest.
Fucking
but...
idiots.
Well, here's the thing. So when I watched this, the cynicism in me was like, they're only saying they're in South Korea for marketing purposes of the movie, to say, like, yeah, look, we're in South Korea. Go and watch it, you Koreans. You're going to love this. We're in your country in this film. Now, is South Korea, like, a pivotal location in
so
the
it's
book?
Interesting. So there is a bit about South Korea and the People's Republic of Korea? North Korea.
Yeah.
I don't know what the politically correct name is, but I'm sure that none of them listen to this because they're not allowed to.
No, they're not allowed
so
to. Kim Jong-un's probably listening to it. He's probably pissing himself.
He's loving it. Ha, 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 bicycles.
He's probably dead. COVID.
So all of the... There's a bit with some people in South Korea and they're talking about, like, basically North Korea went dark right at the beginning of the...
That was before the zombie stuff.
Yeah, just... Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. And they reckon that they're all in, like, underground... tunnel systems, and they've all just gone underground because nothing has happened for like 20 years. So the book is based, right, I think, 10 to 20 years after the end of the pandemic.
Right.
And basically their theory is that they've all just hidden underground. So maybe they're all just cycling around in little tunnels.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe they're all zombies and they're all dead.
That'd be smart, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, look, I mean, you mentioned Jerusalem, and we should probably skip to Jerusalem. I know we've got a bit of a weird cameo from a CIA guy turned bad.
He's pulling all his teeth out.
Which apparently is about 50% of the CIA, because they always get a bad rap in films.
Yeah, poor fuckers.
But, yeah, he starts pulling his own teeth out. Now, I'll be honest, you're going to need to fill the gaps for me here, because... Okay, I know I've seen this film twice, and I saw it literally, like, less than a week ago. I completely forgot why he started pulling out his own teeth. Why did he do that?
I think his theory was, is that if he gets infected, he can't bite you without teeth.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure that you can rip people's flesh off and shove it in your mouth without teeth.
Fucking hell! Well, yeah, but you don't say that, do you? He's trying to chill people
now,
out.
The idea but he's is right. sound logic, actually. I mean... It's still mental, but it is quite sensible.
Yeah.
Question for you before we go back to Jerusalem.
Go on.
So, the guy with the limp, is he infected? Are they all dead?
What? What do you mean?
You know, the guy with the limp that was like, oh, my leg's been bothering me for a while. But remember that the first cases didn't mutate as quickly. Do you reckon he turned into a zombie and ate all the rest of the Navy SEALs?
No, but I definitely think they're all dead anyway.
I think he did.
Why?
Well, because, you know...
Like, the limp's only there to establish that, oh, yeah, but the zombies left him alone because he was a bit weak. And then that then starts this trend throughout the film where it's like, oh, yeah, oh, this guy's got eczema. The zombies don't want any interest in him. It's like, oh, what's going on here? Yeah, very fussy zombies. Brilliant. So, but look, you might be right. Maybe there's another thing there where he's like, yeah, he turns later and just kills everyone. But I suspect that after their hardcore... Captain had to kill himself because Brad Pitt's wife starts calling everyone at the worst times possible. Yeah. I'd imagine they'd have all died anyway.
True.
But hey, you know,
who knows?
That's the cynic in me. That's the disease in me, the virus. So they go to Jerusalem, and this is where like the vast majority of the budget of this film goes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty fucking cool. Yeah, you've got like this massive wall. I mean... They obviously ruin it with a big sing-song.
Three of my favourite parts of the film are in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, go on then. Talk to me. Talk to me about your three favourite parts.
That fucking woman singing on the speaker is not my favourite part. I wanted to punch her. But, yeah, you're right. So,
who sings in a speaker?
Well, also... It's like, mental. I know it's all great and well, but have any of you seen what's happening outside? Mm. Like, you come through that wall. Come on.
Yeah, but they're happy, aren't they?
Yeah, well, shouldn't be...
You know, you've got the Israelis and the Palestinians, all right, they're all coming together. They're like, look, we're all
peak
fine
too soon,
now.
Peak too soon.
So what's going on here?
some of this is in the book. So they do open the gates of Jerusalem and they herd people in through checkpoints with dogs in cages because dogs can smell zombie pandemic virus.
Right.
So three of my favourite parts of the film that happened.
How'd they know that?
Dogs and that, innit?
The dogs told them.
They bark and go mental.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's a zombie, is he?
Zombie dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, my three favourite parts that basically happen in Jerusalem. So, the zombies climbing up that wall. I mean, I know it's kind of spoilt by the trailer of the film and I think the cover of the film or the poster. But watching it is amazing. Like, they... maybe not, like... Yeah, okay, it was made 7 years ago. It's probably not... perfect in terms of like effects and the way it comes across on screen, but the feeling of it, like that absolute holy fuck moment of going, they are climbing over each other to get to the top of this wall to get to these fucking people singing like idiots.
Oh, they're a herd, aren't they? That's what it is.
It's amazing. I thought it looked great. I thought it was terrifying. I thought the whole kind of overall atmosphere of it was really good. And that's when you really get the full force of this is what happens when they are all together kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. What were your other favourite parts in Jerusalem?
When he chops off her hand. So that... First of all, we see the bloke, don't we, in the main place that they're all avoiding because he's sick, and this is when we're starting to get the feeling of it. Then we see the kid that they all run past. And my question to you over text was, oh my God, is he Jesus? Yeah. Which is, you were like,
yeah. And I went, yes.
Yeah, or something. And then, so then yeah. they end up, said maybe. In, they end up in like one of the caverns, or like a little kind of hidden bit up in the alleyways.
That's what they call them, yeah,
and
caverns,
she is
yeah.
bitten, I can't remember her name, the soldier that he ends up with is bitten on the arm, mm. and Brad Pitt, and he, for a second, for a split second, you don't know what he's going to do, and then he picks up a machete and he fucking lops her arm off, and all I went was, it's like Herschel!
Yeah.
But it was genius. I loved it. And it was, and like,
mm.
that kind of started a trend for me of how Jerry, you know, well done on writing yourself such a good part, Brad, is very good at, well, I say very good at, he likes to take risks that he doesn't know if they're going to pay off. And luckily they all do, but,
mm.
you know.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about one of the other risks that he takes in a bit. But look, he cuts her arm off and she's like, oh, and he's like, look, you know, relax. Yeah, it might work, it might not, you know, who knows. But, you know, give it a go, innit?
And he's counting.
And she's terrified.
One elephant, two elephant.
What? Yeah. So apparently her name is Sagan. That's Sagan. Her name. Sagan. Sagan.
Okay. I will remember that for five yeah. minutes.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's probably not even going to come up again. Okay, and what was your other favourite part?
So this is as they leave Jerusalem. So their yep. plane fucks off. That's not happening. Fine, fair enough. So they got a passenger plane, and I'm like, this is a bad idea. Yep. And then it's when in the...
But I remember, yeah, so I remember when you messaged me this, you went, oh, that's a bad idea. It's like, what else are they going to fucking do? You've got to get on a plane.
Well, yeah, I mean...
You'd much rather... That's like, nah, just stand in the fire instead. Like, they've got to
just
go.
Just die. End the film there.
Yeah, just die. Why just bother? Fucking die. Yeah.
It's the end of the world.
Just give up. So they get on the passenger plane.
He's sorting out Sagan's arm. And you think he's having a dream about this little yappy dog barking at the toilet mm. and a bloke falls out, bites the air hostess, and then all shit lets loose, right, at the first class part of the plane. Mm. And they're starting to build up the suitcases. I thought this was absolutely amazing. But you know what it reminded me of?
Yeah, go on.
It reminded me of the train in Train to Busan.
Yeah, which was, ironically was our very first commission yeah. podcast.
And I've been trying to remember the name of it all day and it just came to me. Yeah. And then, of course, the grenade and the crash. And you think, this is never happening. But I loved that whole set piece. I thought it was brilliant. It was tense. It was exciting. I wasn't quite sure if Sagan was going to survive or not as they're flying towards the only safe haven there is, where there is a World Health Organization.
Cardiff.
Office. Yeah, Cardiff. Right.
Yeah.
And so we end up in Cardiff.
Yeah. Baffling.
Totally baffling.
I mean, yeah, but okay, whatever. You know, they're going to some obscure places in this film, but Cardiff takes the fucking biscuit, to be honest. Yeah, I'm not slagging it off. I've been there loads of times and the people are always very friendly. You know, it's just I don't expect, you know, a big budget zombie film to end in Cardiff, to be honest. But
I thought they were actually taking the piss when they said Cardiff, but no, it was true. Is there actually a WHO facility in Cardiff, do we know?
Well, funnily enough, what I've done as part of this podcast is research all of the WHO, I guess, like offices or... And obviously I've not done Aww. That. Yeah?
I literally...
Who knows if there is? Like, fucking hell.
Bated breath there.
It's a film about zombies. I just want to talk about that. I'm not worried about where fucking the World Health Organization have got stationed offices in real life.
Well,
it checks out. You know, I can suspend my disbelief there. Well, you know, please do. And look, and for any listeners that want to confirm the existence of a World Health Organization office in Cardiff, yeah, feel free to message us. That's absolutely fine. You know, Twitter or Instagram or email, whatever. It's entirely up to you. So, I mean, let's just talk one more time about the fact that this guy, he throws a grenade on a plane. Now, what's he doing, man? Like, it would make more sense because the way he throws it is, I've still got a chance here. This guy, he so believes in himself.
Yeah.
It's mental. Absolutely mental. And it pays off. Because the plane crashes, everyone's dead. I mean, there's a zombie that's trapped in a chair, which is hilarious. Difficult to work those little seatbelt things on a plane. But then you've got Brad Pitt, you know, he's impaled, isn't he, on that little bit shrapnel from the plane. What did you think when you saw that?
My first thought was, aren't you supposed to leave it in? Like, if you get impaled by something, aren't you supposed to leave it in? Because there was I can't remember what film it was, but someone gets impaled from glass and they pull it out and they die. Anyway, that was my first thought. My second thought was, how's he going to make it through fucking Cardiff like this? Like, he's in the arse end of fucking nowhere. He's on his own.
Yeah.
Allegedly on his own.
Well, is he?
No, he's not. Yeah. We learn later.
No, he's not.
But I was slightly afraid for him.
Sagan.
I didn't think he'd be able to understand any of the Welsh people. He wouldn't be able to read the road signs. Fucked.
Yeah, that is a legitimate concern in Wales. Yeah. But look, he does. And they obviously end up at the exact place where they need to be.
Miracle.
And somehow, you know, he's still alive. How is Jerry still alive?
I've no idea.
You know, he's not Rambo. He's an investigator, for fuck's sakes. But whatever. You know, he's Brad Pitt. You know, he's Superman.
But it's all right because we get Peter Capaldi. So Doctor Who's turned up to help us out.
He turns up. Yeah.
Useless.
I'll be honest. I never thought he would be. I don't even remember him being in this when I first saw it. So it was a nice surprise when he popped up. I was like, oh, hello. I say it was a nice surprise. You messaged me and went, oh yeah, look, Peter Capaldi's in it. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, so I've not got up to that bit yet, because you're a minute ahead of me at that point. Surprise ruined. But yeah, so basically this last set piece, there's a bit where, I mean, there's a little bit of unnecessary, oh, but who are you and why are you here? And so just chill out, fucking hell. Be more worried about the zombies that are running around outside than someone that's just come in injured, but whatever. So this obviously leads to them finding out that they can effectively come up with not a cure, but a prevention. Something that the zombies are not going to like. They're going to be like, no, I don't like him now. He tastes horrible because he's, you know, he's injected himself.
This is another one of Brad Pitt's shots in the dark that pays off. I mean, it does result in a fantastic, very tense 20 minutes. But before that happens, can we talk about the terrible fucking Welsh accent of that girl?
Yeah, I mean, he was slagging her off before. To be honest, I didn't notice it. I didn't really care at this point. But you're obviously going off on one saying, oh, it's terrible. Such a bad accent. Slagging her off. So what was so bad about it?
It's like, so it sort of was a bit Welsh and then was not Welsh at all, slightly American, and then a bit shit Welsh again. It might just be me, but I'd really appreciate it if any of the listeners, if they've recently rewatched it, could tell me if I'm right about this or if I'm just being a bitch. Because both are possible.
Yeah, look, you might be right. I'm sure you are. Yeah, I'm sure you are. But yeah, no, you're right. He finds the vial that says, you know, AIDS or whatever it is. And he's like, yeah, I'll inject myself with that. And they're like, no, don't do that. But he does it anyway. And I'll be honest, of the things that I remember of this film, that the chattering of the teeth. Oh. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It's like zombie Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. So he's obviously staring at him through the glass and he's giving him a little... Ooh. We might... In fact, we'll insert it. It's horrible, isn't it? Just that chattering. So he's obviously trying to come on to Brad Pitt, as they all do, because he's a gorgeous man. But Brad Pitt's like, no, because I've injected myself with COVID-19. And they're like, oh, I don't fancy that. That's dangerous, that. That is careless, if
you
anything.
You wait till 2020, mate.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, yeah, he walks past a zombie, and then he does this massively unnecessary scene where he plugs Pepsi for a bit. Is it Pepsi or like 7-Up or something?
Oh, it's one of them. And he's like drinking it. I wanted it to be like the Diet Coke ad, where he takes off his shirt and then pours it all over himself.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, so he takes his pants off and he's having a drink of Pepsi.
Yeah.
And he says, oh man, of all the things that have happened to me today, you know, it's this Pepsi makes up for all of it, doesn't it? So he walks down the hallway in his pants and... all the zombies are running around him, you know, because they're like, nah, I don't want him now because he tastes disgusting.
Dirty.
Yeah, he's disgusting and dirty. He's very well-paid actor. We're not allowed to touch him. But a couple of bitter actors brush him as they go past, just create a little bit of drama on set. And that's it. You know, he goes through and they're all like, yay, brilliant. He's safe. We're all safe. No one was hurt here for some reason. No drama.
No. And then it ends.
Yeah, and then he's reunited with his family in the refugee camp in...
Nova Scotia.
In Nova Scotia. Again, another random place, but, you know, fine.
In the book, one of the things that happens is people are advised to head north because zombies freeze in the winter.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's
good.
So that's
loads of people
like
go up where it's cold, like Nova Scotia.
I like the idea that they're like, look, you know, the zombies aren't going to like the temperature. You know the zombies that are fucking, they're dead, but they've come back to life. They don't like that cold temperature. But yeah, whatever. But that's it. That's the end of the film. You know, you get a little montage and you're like, oh, they're going to try for a sequel here.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, I think they actually are still trying to do a sequel.
I might suggest that now is not the best time.
No, certainly not. I mean, you know, there's going to be loads of films that are going to come out. I'm sure we'll do loads of pods on, like, a COVID-style film. Obviously, Contagion came out fucking years ago.
I'm not watching that.
And I didn't rate it. I was like, this is so boring. And now I'm like, oh, actually, I want to watch it because I want to see what the ending is of you know, Civilization.
I think everyone dies.
But my wife, Michelle, has no interest in that. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think they all do die. But look, enough about Contagion. That's the end of World War Z. So any final thoughts, Emma?
Well, one thing two things I'd like to say. One, I've thoroughly enjoyed recording.
Well, you've said one thing.
One thing is two things. Firstly, I've thoroughly enjoyed recording this podcast and watching and reading the material. So thank you, Beth, for asking us to do that, and John for joining me in our journey.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
But secondly, if you want us to talk about something else, please go and become a Master Blueberry, because the last thing that any of us can cope with at the moment is thinking of content to cover. So if you tell us what to do, we will do it.
It is much easier that way. Plus, we obviously get paid to do it, which is always
and
nice.
That, yeah.
I am the most upfront member of this group when it comes to asking for money, because it's nice, isn't it? You know, like, look, for the most part, I do this for free. And I'm only doing these podcasts to listen back to the ones that I'm in.
100%.
And then I'll just listen to all my bits that I enjoy. But when I'm not doing that, I like to earn money for the podcasts that I'm not on. You know, they're the best ones.
And look,
if
you can't afford to commission a podcast, you can just sign up to Junior Blueberry. You get loads of cool stuff with that too. So, yeah, I mean, definitely check out Patreon. There's some really good stuff on there. And there's loads of different levels that you can consider if you've got a couple of dollary dues to spare. But, like, really great choice. And it's nice to watch a zombie flick that I'm not going, Rick, why have you grown your beard, stupid? What's happening here?
Good.
Kind of shit.
Well, that brings us to a close. Look, if you've enjoyed this episode, send us your feedback and thoughts at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. You can always send me your feedback on Twitter. That's where I'm most active. And every time I say this, I get no messages. at fancriticalpod.
You can message me on Instagram. Yep. fan_critical.
Get many messages on Instagram, Emma?
No.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And again, look, if you want to donate some dollars, you can over at patreon.com/fancritical. And look, it's not just us on there asking for money. Go and support other creators as well. You know, it's the listeners that, you know, make us survive and thrive. So thanks very much. And you know, very rarely will I say that. But genuinely, thanks very much. But that's it. So, Emma, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, John. And everyone, remember, if things get too rough, big shit, middle of the ocean.
Ugh, yeah. It genuinely sounded like you went a big shit in the middle of the ocean. I was like, why is that relevant? Anyway, goodbye.
Bye.
Karen.
Is there anything left out there?
If we knew where this thing started, maybe we could kill it.
I think these things have a weakness.
Every human being we save is one less to fight.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.